Hello and welcome to Box Lights podcast series. I am Taylor Ann Charles, a training and development specialist here at Box Light, and I'm thrilled to have you join us as we explore the revolutionary impact of artificial intelligence on education and training. Alongside me, I have my co-host, Nicholas Gearing. Hi, Nick.
Hi, Taylor Ann. I am Nick Gearing. I am also a training and development specialist here at Box Light. And I'm super excited to be able to talk about AI with my colleague today, because this is something we live and breathe all the time and are super passionate about. So you're stuck with passion today, friends.
I love it. And today we'll dive into how AI is transforming classrooms and even corporate training environments alike, sharing real world stories, cutting edge insights, and practical tips that you can apply in your own professional journey. So grab your headphones, open your mind, and get ready to embark on an exciting adventure into the future of learning with us.
I like it.
So Nick, I have my first question for you. I was wondering, how do we define AI in the context of teaching and learning?
Oh, well, it's really actually hard to define because it is involved and implemented and integrated in so many different places and ways in today's modern classroom. We have been on this journey of AI developing and finding its way into industries, and boy, did it land in education. So in terms of what AI looks like and feels like in education, it really is in everything. It's in our virtual planners, in our phones. It is a million different applications. It is plugins and additional tools that are meant to make already existing tools that you use function differently. The idea is that you are getting kind of like a really enthusiastic assistant, learner, thinker, doer, beer to kind of carry along with you everywhere you go. So as an educator, this is a really exciting time because we've all wanted an assistant for some time and probably needed one and definitely deserved one. So I would say that it's a little bit of everything in education, but really it's about utilizing this tool in a way that allows us to reach outcomes and heights that by ourselves maybe would have taken us much longer, or maybe we wouldn't have been able to attain those goals at all. It really is allowing us to go further and faster while also allowing us to reach a broader audience, right? It allows for educators to do all of the many things that all of those hats we put on every day require of us, right? Especially when you start thinking about accessibility and differentiation for your students, right? Access to content and learning is the most paramount piece, I think, of the teaching and learning process. We've got to be able to actually access and attain it, right? And so to be able to do things differently for all of your students really is the power that I think AI is bringing into the classroom. And then there's a lot of really cool other stuff that it does too, but that's where I would go.
No, I totally agree. I mean, I think accessibility is huge, whether it be speech text, translation, and some of those other tools that can just make it so much more inclusive, that use artificial intelligence that a lot of people don't always realize it is using AI to help us.
Yes. The other day, I actually was in a classroom that had a document. And on one side, it was in English, and on the other side, it was in Spanish. And I was using Google Lens, and it visually translated the entire document. And so we were able to kind of look at both sides, and we were like, look how accurate that translation is. And then on the flip side, look at it reverse translate. It's a really powerful tool. Think about traveling the world and how people would be intimidated or worried, maybe anxious about not knowing the language well enough or feeling like they'd get lost or taken advantage of. You don't have to worry about those things. Communication and access to each other, regardless of language barriers, like we're already at the future. We're already there.
I think about when I was teaching, I had a student come from Africa. Day one, she's in my classroom. And what I could have done and using AI to help compared to just flashcards sitting and like other students sitting and like teaching her things maybe that she shouldn't have learned because they were teaching her maybe the bad word of it.
They don't do that.
It happens in the classroom. But But we use our students as another tool.
Yeah.
So AI can be that other tool that can really help them as well.
And now those other students can go back to learning and achieving their own things. They can go back to exceeding. Uh-huh. Instead of taking your high-flying kids, your kids that are already done because this concept made sense to them already, or they were just faster to get through it, instead of now putting them to work as our assistant, because we really got to use all of our resources, because there's so much to accomplish as an educator today, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now we don't have to do that. So those kids don't get extra work necessarily for being ahead or being proficient in something. They get to keep growing themselves too. And that's a really mm-hmm. powerful thing. I was one of those kids at one point in my teaching and learning. And it gave me a lot of extra work to do. And I'm a good teacher, mm-hmm. but I will tell you, some of my peers were not. So this is a way better opportunity for us to have that assistant that is much better prepared to actually support our true and accurate goals.
Definitely. And I feel like this just translates right into differentiation, which you mentioned earlier as well. You know, we get to enrich our students in a very easy way using AI. Mm-hmm. I mean, one of the ways that I love to use AI is going in and taking an objective and asking, how can I enrich this objective? This is what they're currently doing. This is the task that they're currently doing. Normally, I'm training teachers. But think about it within your classroom. If you're using it with students, now, how can I enrich my students with the objective that they have? This is what they're currently doing, but I want to take it to the next step. Or I want to take it because I have a really high flyer and I want to take it three extra steps. Give me three different enrichments.
Yes.
Now I can also add choice, but it didn't take me as long to actually create all three of those enrichments, because that's something that we have to talk about too. It's the time to actually do and create the projects for differentiation, or creating all the different ways that students can actually dive into the work. It takes the time for the teachers to do that. And then they're having to stay after school. They're having to stay hours later. We want to cut that out.
Right.
Teachers should be going home to their family.
Work-life balance, separation. Yes. Time to be your human self that doesn't always have to be your teacher self at home and mm-hmm. at the grocery store and at the mall and everywhere else we go, right? you can separate some of those things because you're going to get some of that time back. It's great that you say that. And obviously, you know, you and I have chatted about this, a number of times, because one of our most important roles as training and development specialists with Voxlay is working with teachers and helping them get the most out of the tools and resources that they have. And teachers are always saying how hard it is to be all things to all people and to still feel like you have enough time and energy and capacity left for yourself, right? This is one of the most important pieces to focus on with AI. There's a lot that is exciting. And because it's so new and changing and growing, maybe it's intimidating. Maybe it causes a little anxiety. The way to navigate through that, though, is to keep your focus on the things that it's helping you be successful at and doing your best with that. And so it's really great that we get to speak from that experience, because I think that educators so often don't get the voice that they deserve in these conversations. And I don't even know if people realize just how much teachers have to take home in order to keep up, let alone get ahead, right? We want to do as much as we can to individualize our experience for all of our students, right? They're not a number, they're a human, they're an actual living, growing being, right, in your room, and you want them to feel that way. But it's hard sometimes when you're looking at 200 of them and they all have different needs and you're solely responsible for meeting those. AI is gonna bring all of these other resources in, and it's going to help streamline that process and give us ideas that we might not have even thought about. That's the thing I get really excited about, is how many times I have used AI to get myself out of a creative funk or to challenge myself to go beyond the way that I've done it or the way that naturally makes sense to me. And it's really upped my game, I would say.
Which I do feel like that goes right into, how do we enhance the student engagement and participation, which I feel, you know, we can actually use AI to create songs mm-hmm. with our students' names in it and things that they've done or learned in the past year, or maybe it's a quarter and they're coming, you're coming up with a song, but instead of using that brain power for you and spending hours doing this,
you can't write a song in minutes, Taylor. Come on now.
We can write a song in minutes. We can do different engagement activities where we're connecting ideas. Like if my students love football, I can connect cell organisms, which I don't know much about because I'm not that great at science, but I love football. We can connect football and cell organisms together. And how does that interact? So now they're using AI will take, okay, the process of cell organisms is going, and I don't even know if I'm saying this correct because I'm not that a biology teacher, but the cell organisms is like a football team and the nucleus is going to be the quarterback. I know that's right. So things like that where it can make connections to students that is in their life. I mean, Minecraft is huge for students for this generation. I know my sister who's in eighth grade, for example, she has done Minecraft her whole life. I mean, there are some great, and now there's the movie
right.
Minecraft.
So it's like perfect timing to latch onto that and like ride the wave. It's popular. It's been consistently popular. And we know that it's academically yes. relevant. I know that when it first came out, parents were... but really, like the data really shows a lot of growth and development in students that are using Minecraft with intention. And even the kids that aren't even trying to learn are learning while doing it anyway. So perfect time to latch on and join the jump on the bandwagon, friends. Jump on.
No, for sure. So how have you used it to help engagement, whether that's with teachers, students? I'm just curious.
Well, and here's the thing that I'm going to throw a little wrench in here because I think people are not going to expect what I'm about to say.
Love it.
One of the things that we learn working with teachers all the time, all over the country, is that there is also this kind of tech oversaturation for some of them. Some of them are very, mm-hmm. okay, look, we came out of the pandemic where we had to depend on the technology to stay connected, right? But now we're in the classroom and it feels different. And I don't just want to live in a computer. I want to be people. I want to see each other. I want to touch things. I want to write with my hands and a marker or a pen. Like there's this, how do we find the balance between the tech mm-hmm. and the untecking of our classroom, right? And that's one of the ways that I like to use AI is to help myself see ways that I can teach or that students can learn about a concept or a topic that includes, is dependent on, or does not include technology, so that we have these mm-hmm. options that are available. Because some of your students might like tech, some of them might not. Some of them might be really confident and feel very competent in using it, and others not so much. Some people just like to look at their own handwriting sometimes, and I know that that might seem... I don't know, superficial or trivial, but it really isn't, because if it is a potential barrier to that student connecting and engaging with your lesson, it's not trivial. It's a big problem mm-hmm. and you need to overcome it. So if that kid really needs to be looking at their handwriting, cool. Let's find a way to do this that makes you use the technology less. So that's one way that I have really appreciated AI is I can address what my teaching concern is through that, and it can bounce ideas. We can go back and forth. I love that it's like having almost like a teaching therapist, right? They don't have a bias toward anything necessarily. They don't have, I mean, there is a bias. We can talk about biases, but it's not the way that I'm using the term bias, right? They don't already have a preconceived notion of whether you're a good teacher or not, or whether that's the best idea or not. The idea that the AI is going to present for you is an alternative to what you're doing, not a better version necessarily. It's another way of looking at things. It's another way of addressing things. And I really appreciate being able to bring in different perspectives without having to tag in all of my friends all the time. You know what I mean? It's mm-hmm. getting that insight without having to put other people to work for you. Mm-hmm. Isn't that crazy? I talked about not using tech. That was my answer.
No, I love it. People aren't, I think that's
it's recorded. So.
No, I think that's so huge. And one of the things too, that I feel like can be a misconception a lot of the times is that, you know, educators just, or people in general, just don't like AI because it's taking the thinking out of it. But I think a lot of the time, you know, it's not taking, or even the teaching and the thinking, I guess you could say in that. But I don't think that's true. I think a lot of the time it's the mindset. It's the way that we're asking the question. We can actually dig deeper into things more than we have a textbook in front of you. Why don't you go look at the definition at the back of the page? Because that's what we had to do back when we were in school. Now it's, okay, what is the definition? How does this relate to me? Or how does this relate to a concept that I know? Students can start asking these questions instead of being like, Miss, Mister, I need the answer to this question, and raising their hand or just calling out. They are able to now dive into it with themselves, and they're able to go deeper into that knowledge compared to just, oh, this is the answer. Okay, well, why is this the answer?
See, but teachers, oftentimes in my conversations with them, the resistant teachers, not all teachers, obviously, but the teachers that are apprehensive or resistant to the use of AI in learning and in teaching, a lot of times when we talk about that, their answer is, the kids are just going to have it write the paper for them. And you know what? Truth be told, there are students who are absolutely going to ask the AI to write a paper for them. What that does is not act as a closed door for us, though. And I think sometimes those teachers are leaning into the part that the fear or the anxiety about it. And so they're letting it be a closed door. They're like, ah, see, it's not an open door, so I don't walk through it. But it also has a handle and a doorknob, and you can go through that. So there's a way around that. And so the thing that I always try to do for teachers when we have that conversation is to politely push back by asking, but can it help you to think about the way you're addressing this concept differently? Can you find a way that doesn't allow them to depend on AI? Because if the kid can just ask AI to do the work for them, is it necessarily the meaningful work you intend it to be? And I know that that seems maybe confrontational, and I don't mean it in a confrontational way, but if you're on the other side of that, I know how it can feel. I'm sensitive to it. I'm hip. I get it. but I don't mean it in a confrontational way. I mean it as a challenge. Every day, teachers are challenged. They are challenged to overcome all sorts of struggles. Some of those struggles aren't even announced to them. You're just competing against it already. You know what I mean? And so instead of looking at it as this other thing that's working against you or that's going to allow people to be thoughtless, let's think about ways that we can use these tools in our classroom and to reinforce and build that content capacity with our students of the right way. And the right way isn't just about doing it ethically. Yes, that's the right way. But it's also about using it in a way that will allow your students to soar, that will allow them to grow, that will allow them to get further faster, right? And so we have to, I don't want to say embrace it so much because then it sounds like I'm back to that whole like, no, tech is everything. And I don't mean that. What I mean is we can't shy away from it because it exists and it's everywhere. It's in their phones, in 17 different apps that they use, if not more, right? I think I'm using a low number on purpose. But it sounds like a high number, doesn't it? It's everywhere. So if we don't embrace it as educators, who's helping them navigate it? You know, I work with students as well. And I often ask students where they learn about tools like AI, right? Where did you learn about ChatGPT? Where did you learn about Google Gemini? Where did you learn about... And the kids will say, oh, well, my friend showed me. Or I read a thing online about it, and so I just tried it. Cool. Well, what adults do you talk to about AI? What individuals that have an impact on, you know, that bigger picture of your life are you having those conversations with? And more often than not, they don't have somebody specifically that they're pointing to. So there's a void right now that educators are the perfect people to fill. We're the perfect people to fill it. And the reason for that is we've been trained to know and understand the growth and development of our kiddos. And we understand our communities and our families and our role in our job, in our school, in our district, and beyond. We are the perfect people to help them know how to actually get more out of these tools, not use it as a pinch hitter for their learning. Haha, look at that. Reference.
I love it. Well, and one of the things that I always think of is, you know, people were afraid of Google. At one point, people were afraid of Google. And when I was going to school, I was taught how to search on Google and what to use, what not. You know, we were taught how to use a reference page. How do we create a reference page?
I still have to teach kids how to refine their search so that they're actually getting like articles and quality content. So look, the journey is still happening, right?
And totally.
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. I just couldn't wait to kudos you. And me too.
No, you're all good. And it relates back to AI as well. I mean, Google is a form of artificial intelligence.
Every time you Google search now, at the top of that search is an AI overview of the
results. It's Gemini. They got.
Right. It's an
Gemini is working.
The results you're going to find basically say it's a TLDR that Gemini is providing for you. For those of you that might be my age or maybe you just are old in spirit. TLDR, too long, didn't read.
Amazing. But it's so true. And so those things, it really makes a difference. And as time has shown, even though we're afraid of it, or some people are afraid of it, I'm always diving right in. Apprehensiveness, that's okay. But it really can help. And it is everywhere. I mean, we are using AI on an everyday basis, whether you think it or not. Your cars have it. Our phones have it. There's so many different types of AI. I mean, shoot, my home security has it. So all of those things, we are all using AI. But how can it really make it?
If you have a smart anything, a smart washer, a smart refrigerator, a smart phone, a smart child, different. That's different. So that one doesn't work. But if you are using any devices or tools or appliances that are labeled smart, AI's in there doing something. It's not just guessing at things, right? It is using data that is being plugged in and it is extrapolating meaning from that. And then it's communicating needs or making changes to whatever that process is using that tool or appliance. It's everywhere. There is no avoiding
it. Everywhere.
There's no avoiding.
Well, and again, I like to make my life easier. I like that AI can make my life easier. Okay. I'll state right now, I have a bit of ADHD. I know we both do. But so one of those things, I use it both in my work life, personal life, I've done it for both actually, is actually be able to streamline tasks for myself. Mm-hmm. So I can go in and I can tell AI what I want to do. And then it can kind of give me a list of, okay, maybe this is a bigger picture of what you have to do a little bit. Maybe I'm giving it a bigger picture. Now I want to make it into manageable tasks that I can actually break down to help me stay organized.
You're such a
And then, I know, I totally do this. And so then I have it actually break it down into manageable pieces for me. Now I say, okay, create a checklist for me to do this. I want to get this done in 2 days. Now it's creating a complete checklist for me. And my brain that's everywhere, it's creating that list. So I can go back and I can say, okay, I like to check things off. But sometimes I get overwhelmed by tasks and overwhelmed by, I have to do this, this, and that. And then it becomes a little bit unmanageable, or you can even copy emails and put it in there to break it down for you. So that's one of the ways.
That because that has an immediate application to the classroom. You are describing what many of our students with different learning styles or issues that impact their access to content, right? You're describing their experience in a classroom where we're learning complex content, right? Complex ideas need to be broken down even for your smart kids, right? Even for your already there kids, right?
Our task analysis.
Everybody benefits from scaffolding. Everybody does. That's why we use it to build buildings. You know what I mean? Like, that's why that happens.
Exactly.
Because it helps. It provides a better, more stable foundation step by step, which is exactly what we need in learning, right? So you might use that to break down complex things in your life, but it applies immediately to how you can teach those things to students as well.
And we need to teach it to students because we need them to be functioning adults, right?
I think that's just so always big. Going to do the differentiating for us, right? We know that one of the struggles that we have is that if a student has like an IEP, for instance, right? What does that translate to in your adult life, though? What does that look like at a job or in other places once we're out of the school system, right? This is a way that we can utilize tools in order to, as the rest of our life continues, to help support those needs that we have as learners. We all have them. It's not about having a disability, or it literally is, we all have different ways of learning. We all struggle in certain aspects and areas and can benefit from somebody helping us to overcome those struggles when they happen. If we teach kids how to do that for themselves and they can own that part, they don't need the AI to do the work for them. They will see that as an empowerment tool to help them be better. I think sometimes our kids are actually jumping to that, not necessarily to, they're avoiding work, but I think it has more to do with like a root cause that's well beyond that. I don't think that it's just laziness or apathy. And any teacher that ever tells me that that's what they think it is, I'm like, there are so many other things deeper than that, that manifest as apathy, or that manifest as like, it's not that. And I know that that's hard sometimes to hear, because that means that there's more work for us to do. It means that we can't say, oh, well, that's outside of my purview. That's outside of my capacity. It's really not. It's about digging to what that real thing is. And a lot of times when I work with students and they're learning how to use these tools to help make learning accessible to them, you can see the moment where it shifts. They're thinking, yeah, you see it. And
you see the light bulb.
Yes. And that light bulb going on allows them to confidently go about the room, because now they can see things, right? So it's empowering students to be able to overcome struggles that they experience in their life. And it's inclusive because everybody's struggles might be different, right? So if you could go to something that would help you meet your own individual needs, you now can contribute in this group more effectively. Mm-hmm. Everybody's going to grow and benefit from that, right? And that feels good. That feels good for learners. So if you help them harness it instead of resisting it, it won't seem like this thing that they can just do and like whatever it is. We don't want to enforce apathy. We want to run away from apathy. And it starts with helping them see the value and the benefit to them personally. And it's not just getting time back, and it's not just being able to play with my friends because this paper got written by my AI. It's not that. They really aren't actively seeking that, I don't think. I'm idealistic about learning and kids and the future, and if we aren't, then we in trouble.
No, I think everything that you're saying is totally on key, Nick. I think that is amazing. Now, one of the things that I think we need to talk about as well is, you know, how do we ensure that AI tools align with district and school policies on the technology use? Like, what do you think when it comes to that?
Well, this conversation a year ago, I actually did a podcast where we were talking about AI and what it's doing to revolutionize teaching and learning, right? A year ago. Gosh, that feels like 5 minutes ago, but it's right? And in that conversation, we were talking about regulations and how do we know what we're supposed to be doing and that it's the right thing to do for kids and for alignment to our policies and procedures, right? And at that time, I like was very kind of, I don't want to say despondent about it, but it was really kind of the wild, wild west. There really wasn't a lot of guidance yet. Since then, so much has happened. So many different organizations and coalitions have worked with business and with educators in order to really dig into the needs and the limitations and the pitfalls maybe that exist out there, so that we could refine what the expectation is. So a lot of districts and a lot of states now have released guidance really helpful documents that make it clear why we do this and not this, why we can use this tool but not this tool. So it is really important that teachers are as familiar with those policies as they are with their policies on things like FERPA or McKinney-Vento, right? Like, you have to know what those policies are in your district so that you can do the right thing by your students. This is another one of those things, but this reaches everything that you're doing in the classroom. And the guidance exists. There is so much good research already being published out there so that we don't have to guess and we don't have to just blindly, you know, wander in the dark and hope that we get somewhere. It really has gotten a lot better, a lot clearer, and it's a lot more inclusive kind of than I expected. Sometimes in education, when we have new tools that come into view, we are a little bit slow to adopt them. That doesn't mean that teachers and students aren't already using those tools. It just means that they're not necessarily being managed fully or as accurately at that time, right? And then eventually we get there. With AI, I think there was this pressing need. I think everybody really understood the value and the power of the moment. And so people really have dug in and they've put in the work to make sure that that the research shows what we need it to show so that we can make informed decisions for our kids and our families. So being aware of those policies, step number one, because whatever limitations your district or your school has put on those is for a reason. And whether we agree or disagree, it's there for a reason. And that's to protect students and their families and you, us, as the teachers. And I think that that's actually pretty phenomenal how quickly this has moved.
Totally. And I think it's so important, you know, we always should be reading our policies when it comes to our jobs and whatnot.
We should always read a contract before we sign it too. And I watch people all the time skip to the last page and just sign. And I'm like, oh my gosh, somewhere in there, you owe me a car, I promise.
We got to be updated. And we also need, you know, to teach our students the ethical considerations of it as well. We're not copying and pasting. We need to cite things if we're taking. Now, I know that there's a whole conversation that we won't even dive into today about, you know, it is your work because you are putting that content. Should we be citing? That is a whole different conversation.
If thinking was done outside of yourself that made it to the paper, then it needs to be cited. I was an English teacher. An English teacher. So if you took content from anywhere and you put it in your work, you better give credit to somebody because I know that was yours. And like, that's not to say that we need to just call our students out and make them feel bad. It's about teaching them ahead of them making the mistakes, but then having the ability to show grace and teach them again when they make those mistakes afterwards, right? You're right. We do need to teach ethical use of these tools. And that does include giving credit where credit is due. This isn't your brain. This isn't an extension of our brain. This is a partner. And we're using it. If they were humans and
we collaborate,
paid for it, my partner would also get paid, right? This is the
same. It's like an interview.
Paid in credit. Exactly.
Kind of like an interview. You're interviewing someone and whatnot. It's a little bit different. And those are conversations that are going to shape where it's going to go, right? And who is going to do that is the people of when we're having these conversations to see how do we cite this and things like that. So, but one of the things I think about as well is, you know, the future of AI and where it is going. And I know that it's prevalent in our everyday life, but how do we prepare our students and our schools and our districts? And a lot of that is really just having them use it. Use it and use it responsibly. The more that they use it, the more comfortable that they will be in. And the more training, I think that is huge. And I mean, we're trainers, so we're always going to put that in, but we do think this is huge. I do believe this, that if you are getting a tool within your district, you need to have training on it. I mean, that is just huge in general. A lot of districts and a lot of schools they give these products like a panel that we have behind us, a box light panel, for example, AI, but then they don't train the staff how to use it. There may be policies, but then again, they don't train them. So are to read something and they need to have that training on it to be able to understand it. I mean, when we think of technology, there is a huge gap. There's our Gen Z folk teachers. There's our millennial teachers, which are more like us, which are going to be more tech savvy. Then there's going to be the older teachers that do have that tech savvy side because they immersed in it right away. They got training right away when their districts went into it. And then they played and did their own trainings and whatnot as well, because as teachers, we do our own training too. And I feel like that goes underheard of a lot, like outside of our hours. Teachers, I see you. I know you're there on Saturdays doing trainings. I'm right there with you. And in summer times, I know it's not, you have it off. You guys are at different trainings and whatnot. I am throwing that out. Love you, teachers. But I'm totally right there that, you know, we have to train our teachers on how to use it. We have to train our teachers on how to use AI and how do we want to use it responsibly.
And I think that there's an important piece that I want to kind of add on to the end of that, because you do bring up a good point. We work in professional development and professional services, right? So that's the primary piece of what we do, is educate people on how to get more out of whatever this content is, right?
Mm-hmm.
One of the ways that AI tools like Google Gemini and your ChatGPT and all these other tools is the ability to use that as a co-teacher, or as not a co-teacher for your students, but a teacher for you. If you want to break down a concept that you don't know, you've got a new device, a new tool, a new program, a new curriculum, talk to your AI about it. It will actually structure that learning for you too. It can be a professional developer for you. I've worked in a number of districts in my career, right? One of the districts, I'm not going to name names. One of the districts that I worked with, and Taylor, you've worked with this district, so I know you know. This is one of the premier districts in our state. If you want to be a teacher that gets developed, if you want to have access to professional development and growth opportunities, this is one of the districts to go to in the state where I live, right? That's great. But what I found is my friends from college that went and worked in other districts were having totally different experiences. They were in the weeds, they were stressed out, and they just felt overwhelmed by a lot of things because they had all of these new resources and tools that they needed to have mastery of, but not the support that they felt they needed. The ability to be able to self-regulate and to self-report what your needs are without having to say, hey, boss, hey, person who evaluates me and determines the viability of my career, I need you to know I'm really struggling. That's hard for a lot of teachers to say, and that's a hard audience to have to say that to for some people, right? It takes a lot of vulnerability to have that conversation sometimes with administrators. But there's no judgment coming from your AI resource. There's none of that. So if you say, hey, I'm really struggling to understand this concept, I need to use this tool, I need to be able to teach this, it's not judging you. It's going to go right into, cool, let's figure it out. And then it's going to help break those things down, and it's going to help you actually attain that knowledge. So if you work in a district that's like some of my friends were, where the struggle is real, this is a great time for you to embrace and to dive into that. And the minute we start seeing how it can help us learn, the minute is the same minute that you see just how powerful it can be to help students learn, because you're going to know firsthand. And you're going to be better for it. Win-win.
I think I didn't go on my soapbox about that, but I love it.
There's such a gap in how we develop and support teachers once they're done with school and they got their certificate, right? Once you're out there, it's like, do it. And that's not fair either. But it's also not fair to do to our students. So it's a great way to experience that and to get back into that empathetic mode, so that we're making sure that we are providing opportunities for kids that they will benefit from forever.
Oh, totally. And you know, if you are one of those teachers that is hesitant, and you are not wanting, or you have been a little like, AI, I challenge you. Start small. Ask it simple questions. Have it break down tasks for you. Have it do enrichment projects. Have it do differentiation for inclusion for your students.
Pick something you're actually worried about. Pick something you're actually stressed about accomplishing. Pick something that you have been avoiding because you don't really understand it as much as you want. Pick mm-hmm. those things, because those are going to be things that you know when it hits the mark, you're going to know, because it's going to resonate mm-hmm. so fully with you. And that's where it has power. Don't just pick something random. Don't ask it about, you know, the seasons and the months and like just to see what it says. I mean, play with it, because that's fun too. It's a great way to learn and to get comfortable. But if you really are hesitant or apprehensive about using it, challenge it to help you with something that you really care about, and you will see the value that it adds. That's how to make a seer a believer right there.
I totally agree. And you know, one of those things as well is if you are learning or wanting to learn more about AI and you are wanting to build confidence with AI, April 24th, we will actually have a Google Gemini webinar to showcase and discuss how AI can be transformative for you in your classroom. So I will actually be doing this training. So if you have any specific questions or anything, you can come to this training to learn a little bit more about Google Gemini. Specifically, we're going to be diving in to all things Gemini and Google Workspaces and how it can help and benefit you within your classroom. So I highly recommend that you should join me for that. And hopefully there will be some more trainings that are free for you. I do have to say that is free for you to join. So please come join me on April 24th.
I'll be there.
I love it. Nick will be there as well. But we really appreciate you joining us for the Power of AI in the Classroom podcast. Again, I am Taylor Ann Charles. And we are here with Nicholas Gearing. We are with EOS Education by Boxlight. If you guys have any questions, please feel free to ask us on LinkedIn. We are always here to have those conversations with you. We are willing and open because we want you guys to fall in love with AI as much as we are.
And look, we fall in love, it doesn't mean that that thing is perfect and that we don't ever have a quibble with it. It just means that we are committed to making it work. So I just wanted to reinforce that, because when we say fall in love, sometimes I think people get this enamored thing where they think we're just being like pie in the sky. Yeah. And it's not what you mean. You really mean, like,
you've got
to embrace it, and you've got to treat it like you want it to succeed. And that's the only way that we're going to succeed with it.
Definitely. Well, we really appreciate you guys listening today. I hope you have a wonderful rest of your day. And thank you so much for joining us.
See you on the 24th of April. Bye.